Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
I think it's important to have an understanding of where we're at and our schedule. Since the All-Star break, I was just looking at it in the last 5 weeks or so since the All-Star break. We've gone to the East Coast three different times and come back. We went through a stretch of playing 11 games in 20 days in conjunction with talking with our coaching staff and our people. We just thought that was the best decision for today. Now, we didn't go on the ice, but that didn't mean we didn't get better today. We treated today as a regeneration day and to try and refill the energy reservoir so that we're ready to play against a really good team in the Dallas Stars tomorrow night.
That is Jay Woodcroft. The Oilers opting not to practice today. The team did meet. This is Oilers Now. It is 1:37 in Edmonton, and we are going to head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. Our Oilers Now headliner today is brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. And we welcome back to the show. He was on a coaching staff with Jay Woodcroft for three seasons. He is the head coach of the Alberta Golden Bears. He played for both the Edmonton Oilers and later coached the Edmonton Oilers. We welcome back Ian Herbers. Hello, Ian. How you doing?
Good, Bob. Thank you.
Yeah, you're in Charlottetown, and I'm gonna cut right to the chase here. You and me had a couple animated conversations during the year about practice times. Maybe you can educate our listeners. What time do you play Friday morning in your opening game at the University Cup?
12 o'clock Atlantic time here Friday, so which is basically just when our practice time is ending at the U of A. That's one of the things Stan and I looked at back when we were thinking of changing our time. So many of our championships are out here in the Maritimes that we thought if we had to play that dreaded Thursday 12 o'clock game, which is the worst one to play, we'd be set in our time-wise and it wouldn't be a big factor for us. So hopefully it's a good omen for us this Friday.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've sort of looked at body chemistries and clocks and had some other guys. There's a player that used to play here whose father is big into how you fire up that engine and get him going. He was a guy that was involved. I won't say participated. He was a guy that played briefly in the CFL, but it was also a bobsledder, and he's been all over the training methods. You know who I'm talking about. And so just in terms of how it works. So that's how much forethought you had in this, because I thought there was that one time a rule that the Canada West schools were not supposed to play in the early game in an Eastern championship, and I guess they've thrown that out altogether. So you end up getting...
Well, that still is a rule, Bob, but they just seem to neglect it. It doesn't get enforced.
Okay, wait a sec. That's actually a rule in youth sports?
Yeah, I just read something this week about it, and they haven't enforced it for the last how many ever years, so...
So, are you guys still seen, Ian, as the New York Yankees of U Sports Hockey? Is that how you guys are seen?
Oh, well, everybody expects to see us here and expects us to be challenging for a national title. Everybody always wants to knock us off, and they seem to play their best games when they play the Alberta Golden Bears. So it's always challenging for us. We don't get any easy nights, any easy games, and that's what makes you better is you're getting pushed, you're getting challenged, you're getting thrown out of your comfort zone, and we've definitely had that all season long.
All right, so you're dropping the puck 9 a.m. in the opening game against Windsor. Maybe you can tell everybody here, how would you assess this? You lost the Canada West final in three games to Calgary. The first two games went to overtime. You obviously split them. And then last game 3-2-1 in the Canada West final. You had a lot of turnover over the last couple of years on your team. How would you assess the season?
Kind of like our Canada West final, a little bit up and down. We did some fantastic things during the year. We had some setbacks here and there. Power play was great at times, not so good at times. Penalty kill was great, not so good at times. Our specialty teams down the stretch here, and especially during playoffs and Canada West playoffs, have been fantastic. So we'll need that carrying through here at Nationals. Those will be two very important factors. When our guys are on and everybody's on at the same time, we're a very difficult team to play against. It's just trying to get everybody going here at the same time, being on the same page and competing. competing, that extra little push, that extra drive. We have the skill, but we need to make sure we're hard in the blue paint, hard on the walls, hard at the lines, playing a difficult, relentless game against other teams and not giving up easy goals, breakaway goals, mental breakdown goals.
You guys basically dominated the tournament for the first eight periods that you were at the Nationals last year. You beat the host Acadia 7-0. You beat St. FX, which has traditionally been a very strong program, 7-3. You're up 4-2 against UQTR. You ended up losing that game 5-4 in double overtime. You outshot the Patriots 70-40.
Well, we dominated them in overtime as well, so it was just the one kind of period where we had that lapsed, let things slide a little bit, and didn't capitalize on our chances. So okay, our guys know they've got to push to, just like our Friday, our last game against the Dinos, we get the one goal, we need to push to get that second goal, we need to push to get that third goal.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to ask you. You had Noah Philp on that team. I know you're not surprised that he's been pretty good in the American Hockey League for Colin Chalk. He's got 14 goals and 26 points. He's actually third on the team in goals, which is not bad for an undrafted player. Grayson Polinchuk, who played with the Red Deer Rebels, he led your team in scoring a couple of years ago. You've lost those two guys and a real good defenseman, Clayton Kurashenko, who is the captain of your team. How do you have as much skill as maybe you had last year, or are you as deep as last year's team, do you think?
Probably not as much high-end skill as Phil and those Kurashenko. And we've been doing it by committee here. Fontaine has been fantastic all season long, and he's been steady. We switched that lineup for Nationals here. We put Florchuk on his wing, so that might give him a little bit of spark. Moved Smallwood down with the Hall brothers, and so we got an all-rookie line going, and they had a ton of energy. They played a few shifts together Sunday in Calgary, and I liked what I saw out of the three, and the three have been very good the last 2 weeks here in practice, and especially the last 2 days here out east. So excited about that. And then we have the Husey line that's been pretty much steady all year long, and we need to make sure they're playing a big game, heavy game, being very assertive, very aggressive, being tenacious and relentless and bearing their opportunities. And then our fourth line chipped in Calgary as well, and they need to make sure that they're strong and they can go out and play against anybody and give us some minutes to give our other guys a break.
Dawson Davidson was a 70-point defenseman in the Western League. He's dealt with some injury issues. Is he back up and running at 100%?
Yeah, Canada West Finals, Canada West Semis and Finals, he was bad coming off a shoulder injury, so he missed the last part of the year. Was so ready to be playing for the semifinals, but did a good job for us, played a strong series, felt good after that, and we thought about resting him one of the games against the Dinos, and he was playing good. He elevated his game. He was dominant down in Calgary. You could never tell that he was coming off an injury at all, so he stepped his game up, and we expect big things out of him this weekend as well.
Ethan Kruger came to Oilers development camp. He is a goaltender of the Brandon Wheat Kings of the Western League, and you ran him, obviously, all three games against Calgary. I know you had Schneider, who was in the Flames organization before, just like Fontaine played in the American Hockey League for a season with San Jose Barracuda. But are we to assume that you're going to go with Kruger here at the University Cup?
Yeah, we're starting him Friday, and we'll go from there. All three guys have practiced and battled hard the last 2 weeks, and they challenge each other, have a great relationship, and it's been a good atmosphere with those three in the dressing room, and they're all cheering on their teammates and hoping the best for each other. If we need to, I'm very confident in the other two stepping up and being a factor if something ever happened to Krugs.
Ian Herbers is the head coach of the Alberta Golden Bears. They're at the University Cup. Ian, most years the Bears go in as the Canada West champs and the number one or the number two seed, because the way, and I'm on the top 10 committee, as you know, the Canada West and the Atlantic conferences have dominated. It's been the Bears out of the Canada West that have dominated, but, I mean, they're seen as the two strongest leagues. Your team goes in as a 5 seed in terms of how the tournament works. Is there less pressure, do you think, or is that pressure internalized because of the expectation that comes with being a part of that Golden Bears program?
Well, we're still expected to be challenging here for a national title, where they were ranked 1 or 8. I think there is a little pressure on us. I noticed the last couple of days in practice, our guys have been jumping and zipping around and firing pucks, and I've had a very good 2 days of prep and getting ready for this game on Friday. It's nice not having that big target of the number one ranked and everybody trying to go after you. So Calgary gets to deal with that pressure, which will be something new for them, and we just get to play and just be the best we can this weekend.
All right. You play Windsor in the opener. What do you know about them?
They're not going to give us much. They've a strong goaltender, probably the goaltender of the year, I'm assuming. And they're very stingy on what they allow. Their D's are very patient, will stay back, will clog things up, they'll block a lot of shots, and then they're able to transition and capitalize on their chances and opportunities. So we got to make sure we're driving pucks, using our speed on their defensemen, and the key part is getting to the net and pucks to the net. We've got to get a ton of rubber at this guy with a ton of traffic. The games I've seen him play, there hasn't been very much traffic in front of him, so we've got to make sure we're in his eyes, we're coming through the paint, we're in the crease, and we're staying there, not just doing flybys and getting those second and third opportunities. Will be key for us to get the early goal and then get the second goal, and then make sure we stay mentally sharp, or we're not having major breakdowns.
Ian, one final one for you, because I've never been to Prince Edward Island. The rink that you're going to play on, is that a normal-sized ice surface, or is it an Olympic size, or what are you dealing with there?
I played games here, Stoff. It used to be the Senators team here, so when I was with Cape Breton Oilers, we'd play here all the time. I even think Frankie LaRue was at that time playing for the Senators in this rink, and Mark LaForest, I remember him sitting in the Zamboni entrance in between periods having a cigarette and before the game the cigarette. So it's been a while since I've been here, but it's NHL size ice surface, and nice rink, good rink, great rink for U-Sport National Finals.
Go get it, Ian.
Thanks, Bob.
You bet. That is Ian Herbers, who is the head coach of the Alberta Golden Bears. He, of course, spent 3 years as an assistant with the Edmonton Oilers, with Todd McClellan, played for the Edmonton Oilers, the New York Islanders, and the Tampa Bay Lightning in the National Hockey League. It's 1:47 in Edmonton. We'll take a timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now. This text comes in on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Bob, was Dylan Holloway injured while down in Bakersfield? Looks like he only played one game since being sent down. Yeah, he got hurt in his first game. He scored and then banged up his shoulder and has been back up in Edmonton rehabbing. Speaking of injuries, the Dallas Stars sent Mason Marchment back to Dallas, so he will not be available tomorrow. Tyler Seguin was already out with a lower body issue for Mason Marchment as well. Royal Pizza, pizza pass and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. They've got 15 Edmonton and area locations, 4 in Calgary, 1 in Red Deer. You can go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. Royal Pizza, they're still making it great. The Stauffer recommendation, Mediterranean chicken. Brendan's a big fan of the Texans. Brendan, by the way, do the Texans have a quarterback yet?
Oh, man. We're getting there. It looked like Jimmy Garoppolo might have been their target for a second, and thankfully that didn't end up coming to fruition. He's in Vegas now, so it's looking like your boy Bryce Young might be the candidate there at number two.
So who's going number one?
I heard C.J. Stroud is who Carolina traded
up. Well, that is who Chris Sims likes. And as a rule of thumb, I tend to trust Chris Sims when it comes to quarterbacks coming into the draft. He seems to have a pretty good handle on it. He's been right a lot here. Let's go to List A. Did you see a little exchange between Adam Schefter and Aaron Rodgers today?
Oh, yeah. I was actually watching Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show as he was explaining all this stuff.
So really, can you explain this? What happened here? So did Schefter actually text him and during the show or something, or what happened?
My understanding was that, like, Aaron was just being transparent about sort of the exchanges, and he clarified the fact that he did not ask the New York Giants to acquire all these pieces, or else I'm not coming.
The Jets or the Giants?
Jets, excuse me.
Yes.
The Giants? Yeah, the Jets. So the Jets apparently got a wish list of Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, some of his old Green Bay teammates, basically, and that was what he was trying to clarify.
Huh. Red Batty is a former CFL equipment guy. He's worked for the Green Bay Packers forever. Well known. The Oilers guys go and see him when they're in Chicago once in a while. Let's go to List A in Oilers history for New West Travel. He does the equipment for the Green Bay Packers. You can travel to California this April to see the Oilers play the Kings and the Ducks. You can reach out to newwesttravel.com. We got two for you. We're going to go back in the state 38 years ago, 1985. What happened?
Yari Curry picks up goal 67 on the season. 67 as the Oilers and Sabres play to a 4-4 tie. He would finish that year with a career-high 71 goals, eventually helping Edmonton to its second Stanley Cup championship in as many years.
On this date 35 years ago, Craig Simpson scored his 50th goal of the season. He was the first player ever traded during a season in which he would score 50 goals. Interesting. And Simpson would be the last Oiler to score half a 50-goal season until Leon Draisaitl pulled it off. I guess that would have been in, what, 18-19. There you have it. Again, that's this day in Oilers history for New West Travel. We're going to Cali in April. We got a couple more spots that have just opened up because we found a couple more tickets for those games. Reach out to newwesttravel.com for more info. Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports Night. What's he got shaking?
You will hear from Kelly Rudy as well as Oil Kings business director, or rather director of business operations, Kevin Radomski. And then the third for Brendan Botcher's rink, Mark Kennedy, talking some curling.
I'm a big fan of Kevin Radomski. Does a good job. Yeah, Botcher. Didn't happen for the Alberta Crews this year. Oh, well. I've had a great run at curling. I'm not a curling expert. I know Wes Montgomery would be disappointed in me that I don't. I haven't stayed on top of it as much these days. Tomorrow, Sportsnet color analyst Louis DeRuss for GCL Diesel. God rest his soul, Wes. And our NHL insider John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling will be amongst our guests on tomorrow's edition of Oilers Now. Up next, Global News Weather Traffic Update with Randy Kilburn, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3. Chelsea on Chad from 3 to 6 today, then Reed Wilkins back at you tomorrow at noon with a preview of the Oilers and the Stars.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.